Hello, and welcome to Wiki Politiki, a show designed to bring right and left front and center, to turn the funk into function, and leave the junk at the junction. At a time when so much political discourse is heat without light, Wiki Politiki shines the light of love and truth on the darkened corridors of power, and then brings leading solutionaries into conversation to light the way forward together. Your host is Steve Behrman, author, comedian, and political and spiritual uncommentator. You might know Steve as his cosmic comic alter ego, Swami Beyond Ananda, or as the author of a more serious book with cellular biologist Bruce Lipton, Spontaneous Evolution. If you recognize that crisis precipitates evolution, and judging by the current crises, the chances of precipitation are 100%, this show is for you. Welcome to the Evolutionary Upwising. Now, here is your host, Steve Behrman.
Well, hello there and welcome to Wiki Politiki, Conversations for Co-Creation, where we shed light on the darkened corridors of power and we shine light ahead of us to where evolution is leading. The purpose of Wiki Politiki is to bring left and right, front and center, to face the music and dance together. In other words, to address problems rather than defend positions. Well, this coming year, 2021, will mark the 40th anniversary of Walter Cronkite's final broadcast. It's been that long since America's most trusted newscaster said, "And that's the way it is." And while all of America nodded, "Yes, that is the way it is." Well, at a time right now when we seem to be living in two separate realities, in spite of the polarization, more than two-thirds of us long for a trustworthy, independent, credible authority to help us address those three key questions: what so what, and now what. Meanwhile, the COVID crisis is being used to accelerate the global reset agenda of the World Economic Forum and those who want to impose a top-down global authority to rule the world. Well, as the Swami says, if we don't want dystopia, we need an alternative, datopia. Datopia. Well, our guest this week, Stephen Jay, is dedicating his life work to creating Datopia, a new media platform where creative ideas can come out to play and where we can together reset the human heart as we shift from domination to collaboration and where we can step out of the matrix and into the creatrix. Stephen Jay describes Mobilize as, quote, a new kind of media for a newer, kinder world inspired by nature, powered by people, and empowered by imagination. He continues, Mobilized is a hands-on learning network for imagination and human potential to inspire, empower, and embrace the genius within us to create a world that works for all people, our planet, and for our common purpose. In addition to being founder and creative director of Mobilize, Stephen Jay is a Grammy Award-winning producer, musician, composer, and creative director. He began his career as a journalist photographer in 1977, promoting emerging talents such as Meatloaf and Bon Jovi. His projects have been featured in Rolling Stone magazine, CNN, ABC, CBS, NBC, MTV, VH1. He also founded the Global Entertainment and Media Summit and New York Music and Internet Expo, the beginning of a digital music revolution. He was also co-executive producer of When Comedy Went to School, a documentary that captured the spirit and excitement of the Catskill comics as they inspired generations and leagues of comedians. It featured Jerry Lewis, Larry King, Sid Caesar, Jackie Mason, and many others. Stephen was also, by the way, associate producer and project creator of Les Paul and Friends, American Made, World Played, the Grammy Award-winning record to honor the innovator whose contributions to the entertainment world included the solid body electric guitar and multi-track recording. So anyway, we're updating that. That was a while back, and now his productions have shifted to a different domain. Welcome, Stephen.
Hey there, Stephen. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing great. So let's jump in. The Swami says that if we don't like the current programming, turn off your TV and television instead. So let's start with your vision for Mobilized. Out of the matrix and into the creatrix. What do you mean by that?
Well, there was a story that I wrote with a friend of mine named Barry Dosenko, who lives in somewhere in Waynesboro or Waynesville, North Carolina, somewhere near Asheville. And forgive me for not knowing the name of that city, but he wrote this piece, and it was called, I'm looking for the exact name of it. It was talking about the change, healing a sick society, enabling a world that works for all. And the first paragraph states it all. When you think about it, what we've been taught, meaning our education systems and everything that comes after that, which includes media, has been leading up to all of the disasters, epidemics, pandemics that we have now. And it says, since the beginning times of industrialism, we have ignored and exploited the laws of nature. We are now reaping the consequences of climate change and global pandemics. We've been told by some of the brightest minds in the world, we can no longer continue down the same path that we've been on. Education continues to teach us over and over a failed modality that competition is the only way to win at life, a fact widely reflected in our current systematic failure in business and politics to deal with solutions. So basically, out of the matrix, that's where we're in now. We're stuck to this constant media barrage of information that if you don't buy products, you're not worth anything. So they desensitize you with misinformation about who you really are to get you to feel that you need to buy, whether it's Thanksgiving or Christmas or any holiday. It's as if Hallmark holidays are in bed with industrialized economics. Mm-hmm. And I see that, and I've seen this for a long time, that this system was eventually going to collapse. And we're seeing that now. And no one in any of these offices in politics and economics, in a lot of the social justice organizations, they're still fighting against what they don't want instead of building what they do want. So my life is spent with artists and producers, and we are creators. And that's how the word creatrix came about. And I thought, okay, if I was an architect of a new type of studio system that was based on collaboration and cooperation, what would it look like? And I thought to the days of, well, when Thomas Edison invented the first film studio, the only reason he had that studio was so that he could push his other invention, which was the motion picture camera. The same thing for phonograph records and the phonograph player. It's similar to what we have now with say Apple pushing the software to push the hardware. And now that we're in a digital world and a digital economy, it's very important that we get this new system right and we don't bring the old industrial ways into it. So, for example, signed to a record label, a producer gets a few points, an artist gets maybe 10 to 15 points if they're lucky. Hopefully they get a nice advance and hopefully they get to recoup on their advance. But record companies are continually using old contracts in a digital world. So, for example, how can an artist expect to give a record label 10% retention of the money for distribution returns? It used to be that they'd hold back certain percentages of the income coming in for returns of the vinyl or the cassettes or the 8-tracks or the CDs. But there are no returns in downloads, but that contract still exists. So people are being played, the artists are being played, And the record companies are so invested and in bed with Wall Street, the only thing they could look at is the cheapest way of manufacturing and releasing anything to make them the biggest gain. And then it's blockbusters without any talent distribution. I was joking with a friend of mine, a mutual, I don't want to call him a friend, but someone that we both know is the executive producer of all the Batman movies. So he owns the franchise. And it's like, what's next? He's done Batman, Catwoman, Batman meets Superman. It's what is next? Batman meets the Bride of Frankenstein? It's gotten where this big media world, which is owned by only a few companies, is giving us the same stuff over and over again. And even in the digital world, they're calling it the same thing. I can go on and on this diatribe. I'd rather move on to something else if we could.
Okay. Well, you know, you're talking about the creatrix, and, you know, we have a pyramid and we have an upside down pyramid. The way things have worked in the past is that you had the record companies, for example, at the top, and the movie companies at the top, and it all kind of trickled down to the bottom. Now we have the possibility at the bottom of lots of creators working on their own platform, and instead of being owned by something at the top, they, in a certain sense, own a share of something that helps all of them. And so I'm guessing that that's what one of the things you had in mind with Mobilized.
Absolutely. It's a commons of information, but it has to be on a foundation, a solid foundation with ethical principles, which we outline, and evidence. And being that I'm the architect of this, not the designer of all the furniture, the roof, or the lighting inside this home or building, this digital building, I don't know the answers to a lot of the information. So we just have to invite a lot of the right authors. And we believe, because the way we have the system set up, that in answering certain questions, people will be able to be accepted. So if we ask people, do you want to do this? And they answer with something, we know it's a bot, they're not in. It has to be an ethical way of doing this, mm-hmm. which is where we've been exploring.
But, you know, one of the things that you brought up, of course, is that we are in this digital age, or in the information age, meaning that we have way too much information, not quite enough knowledge, and precious little wisdom, and a lot of noise. How do you see Mobilized making a difference and standing out in these times of people just being overwhelmed with how much information is out there, and how is it going to get heard above all of that noise?
Well, it's a collaborative effort. We have to all work together. So what we're going to do is we're starting with our first collaborative digital summit, which will be on December 20th. And that's where we invite what I call the media makers and the earth shakers, the people that are creating alternative media with solutions, not just complaining about something, but showing a resolve or a way out or a better way. We're going to invite all of them into a conversation. And collaboratively, we have the potential to create a new type of media that actually can do something, as opposed to the shock and awe media of top down, desensitize, and then go buy something. I mean, I think we've gone way past the time of caring about so-and-so's nipple slip, or who's on the red carpet, or who's sleeping with whom. I think the public has woken up to the part that they don't want this anymore, and they've tuned out. And eventually, it's going to take a little bit of time, but I'm very confident that together we can build something that people want. I know, you know it, that people
want. Yeah, I'm very excited about it as well, because it's certainly something that is required right now as a common ground, a common as a commons, as a media commons. You've actually used the term, quote unquote, social action network. And that seems to be one of the intentions you have for mobilists. What do you mean by social action network as opposed to social network?
Well, for example, I received, or Mobilize received a couple of shows from one of our colleagues up in Denman Island, British Columbia, Canada. And it's a story about a woman, it's an audio show about a woman in the New Zealand Parliament who debunked the GDP. And it's a story about a film called Who's Counting? Marilyn Waring on Sex, Lies, and Economics. Waring demystifies the language of economics by defining it as a value system in which all goods and activities are related, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. She visions an alternative vision. Now, the thing is, I did not know this woman existed, but it shows me that someone else is working on something similar to what one of your friends, Ellen Brown, might be working on in her areas of some sort of new economic system. So as an action network, all of a sudden, that story motivated me to share that story to a lot of people that I know that don't know it. So all of a sudden, we're amplifying and mobilizing the news and the wisdom of someone that we just discovered. Now, I might be talking like I don't know, or there's a lot of things that we don't know. Okay, I don't know Marilyn Waring. I didn't know about her. I didn't know about this movie. I didn't know about what she was doing in New Zealand in debunking the GDP there. But I'm fascinated. So what we want to do is give people things that they can fascinate them and stir the imagination, because a producer's question that they ask all the time is, what if? What if we went a different way? What if we did this instead of that? What if we added this guitar instead of that guitar? What if we changed the direction? And right now, we're in the biggest what if in humanity. The what if is, what if everything we've been told doesn't work anymore and we can just find a different way of doing it? Instead of trying to finance a way of keeping the existing debt going for education, what is the what if? How can children learn? How can people learn from experts?
Okay, we're going to have to interrupt you for just a second. We're going to take a very short break. We'll be back in a couple of minutes with Stephen Jay talking about mobilize.news. This is Steve Behrman on WikiPolitiki.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
These are the sounds of a dinner. A dinner that almost didn't happen. A dinner now served, thanks to people like you. Due to COVID-19, 17 million more Americans may face hunger. Feeding America is helping our neighbors in need. And if you're able, you can too. Donations are being accepted at feedingamerica.org/coronavirus. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Feeding America. 200 food banks strong.
Okay, we're back. We're back with Steve and Jay. We're talking about Mobilized, and we're talking about a social action network. You know, we've seen the damage that social networks like Facebook can do in perpetuating divisive and addictive memes, where they're basically a commercial site. You're a commodity. They're selling your information. This is social action, not social network. Say more about that distinction. How will it be like a social network, and how is it going to be different?
Well, we don't run on algorithms. We run on evidence-based knowledge and imagination. So I'm not a Silicon Valley techie who sits around a dark room with LED lights on and just tries to figure ways to take over the world with algorithms. We don't track anyone. It's purely based on information and access. And when we talk about access right now, when we look at, I'll give you an example. I have a friend who's been doing the UN climate summits for 11 years. Our friend Stuart spoke to them yesterday. And he's been going to these COP events for so many years. In fact, he's the man who is responsible for getting Greta Thunberg over to the COP event in December 2018. But you go to these events, and years and years go by, and nothing ever gets done. So that when I was watching it, I was saying, this is fascinating that this information is being put out there, at least the one that's not industrial corporate information. What if this could actually be transformed into public access? So people everywhere would have this information, evidence-based information on what they can do in their community to make a difference and be part of the change and be the solution. So we don't, I'd rather focus on what we do and what we're going to do, but we don't track people's usage. We're not going to sell it to people. We're basically a new project, so we have our initial goals, which are pretty well firmly stated. And we've been in conversation with various radio producers around the world and change makers around the world in defining how this is going to work. So as anything that's new, you have a vision of where you want to take it and what you want it to do. And I want to know, if I was out there and I knew that there was an illness going on, but I didn't trust the media and I didn't trust the leaders in the government, I wanted to know, what could I do to maintain the my own personal health and not be like a freedom fighter, quote unquote, right-wing patriot. We want to give people stuff they can do. And this is an evolving situation. It's like when you throw a rock in the water, rings will appear. But you don't know exactly how big the rings will get until you throw it in. Then you have to throw it in again, and you have to repeat, when necessary. So there's a lot of stuff that we won't know the answer to until we continue to aggregate our collaborators and find ways with them to create new projects that they can also make some money with and uses fundraisers from the community. So if you look at the creatrix part of it, we're going to find and create new projects that could be music, that could be film, that could be literature. And we're going to allow affiliateship to the different organizations that are part of it to sell the product and make their quote-unquote commissions. That's not our core business. Our core business is information and access for the public for that information.
You know, one of the most amazing areas of economic democracy that's emerged over the past bunch of years, thanks to the digital world, is affiliation. And we're not talking about multi-level, we're talking about single-level affiliation, where people who have influence and have an audience can share things that are valuable, and instead of spending money blindly on advertising, the money can go to support some of these other people for being good networkers and being good communicators. So I'm seeing that this is a very, very exciting opportunity that people will have, perhaps not just to sell their own work, but also to share other valuable pieces and have a piece of that action too. And it makes the economic system and the media distribution system a lot more democratic.
Absolutely. I like to use the word democratizing knowledge. As you know, I know exactly what I want, but my mind can be a little scattered in getting it out there. And that's why I've taken a backseat to doing the interviews, because I know the way my mind thinks. I'm a much better writer than I am an interviewer or a public speaker. But in my event production days, I rarely would spend a dime in advertising. All of my events, with the exception of one of them, was all driven through partnerships. The organizations all benefited by being a partner. We never bought advertising, and I was loyal to my partners in media that I wouldn't breach the relationship. So when magazines gave us free ads in exchange, say, for exhibit or sponsor space, if a magazine didn't want sponsored space for whatever reason, I would never buy advertising and breach the relationship with all of my media partners. But that is that world has changed too. And the media, and I'm not one of these people who wants to bash the media. I love media. But the media is very, very slow to transition. And in many ways, it's their own fault that they failed at looking at the transition, because they didn't realize the digital world was not really a corporate world. You know, it's like John Oliver's did this mock of something called Tronc, T-R-O-N-C, which was Tribune News attempt of getting into the digital marketplace. And Tribune, I don't remember what it's, T-R-O-N-C, John Oliver, you can go look for it. It's really insane when you think of what he says. But these people have no clue, because they're not on the street level. One of the people who taught me music promotion was a guy named Apache Ramos, who, God, I mean, he took me into these greasy spoon places in New York City. And here I'm meeting with, like, the people from all these different rap and dance labels, Profile, Def Jam, and I saw the way they operated, and he took me under his wing and taught me street promotion. And the DJs on the radio were also DJs in the nightclubs, and the record companies, we would just go up to the clubs on Friday nights and Saturday nights and get in there early and give it a spin. I'm going into a long tangent. My apologies for that. There's a lot I want to say. The big corporations, they don't know how to do any research and development. Their only way of doing it is buying the companies. It's like MP3.com started, and then Universal bought them to silence them. So,
right.
That's their R&D. There's no brilliance there. The brilliance is in the creators. So we want to, I don't want to say discover talent. That's not what we want to do. We want to create a commons, a way for people to utilize the Creative Commons license and build and amplify and mobilize what they have through partnerships with organizations. So we want to make a record. Say, for example, I still use the word record, even though it's, we don't make records or platters, as everyone's called. Cool, we are one. And I co-wrote a song with a friend of mine who lives in Budapest, Hungary. And the song is called We Are One. And it's a theme. We made a video. It's lovely. And so we want to create a project. So we're going to ask artists around the world to contribute. And collectively, we will own that project together. And through collaboration, we can take that idea and promote it to organizations that now want to use it as a fundraiser, as opposed to this constant barrage of information. Like today, Tuesday, I received 157 requests from charities for money. We're overwhelmed. So we wanted to create not a central hub, but yeah, let's call it a central hub of decentralized information.
I love that.
And you have to forgive me. I, too, have a condition called Asperger's, so I can go a little on conversation, and I go all the way to the right or the left, more to the left than to the right, and go up, but I could always be reeled back in. And it's my understanding of this that has allowed me to not do the interviews like I used to do.
You know, it's really interesting, but, you know, coming from the world where you've actually seen how things are done on the inside from the top down, starting with the late 70s and through the 80s and 90s and early 2000s. And what you're really looking at, I want to emphasize that phrase that you used, Creative Commons. I also want to emphasize a phrase that you've used on the site, which got my attention immediately, People, Planet, Purpose. That there is a reason. It's not simply to create a creative website, but this is a creative website, a creator's domain to actually help us navigate through these evolutionary times. You know, the World Economic Forum, as you know, has unveiled a plan to reset humanity, quote unquote, by creating a worldwide top-down authority and by using technology, artificial intelligence, chemical agriculture, GMOs, to bring about a new world order, which to me seems to have the old world order. Well, we actually...
Well, let me give you an example. Let's talk about, you say, Bill Gates, well, I don't know what he has anything to do with Microsoft anymore, but when you don't hear people say, are you going to Zoom? I mean, people do say, we're going to Zoom. We don't Skype anymore. Why is that? What is it about being in the corporate infrastructure that prevents creativity? What is it about that? I call it an infrastructure. We call mobilize an infrastructure. You can't create, there's no creativity there. If there really was creativity, we wouldn't be Zooming, we'd be Skyping. But who's Skyping now? You know, there was an interview, I remember Monocle, one of the few magazines that I actually buy. If I'm at a newsstand, which is rarely now due to here in Florida, that trying to find a newsstand is not easy. But they're trying to get out and do anything is not easy as well. But, So Monocle Radio did this great interview with the chair of one of the big German media companies. And he was talking about media and democracy. And he said, and he went back to the days of horse and buggies and cars, okay? And how we can transform. If you're in the horse and buggy business, or the car business, or the train business, or the airplane business, you're in the business of getting a person from point A to point B. The way we get them there changes. So the business has to change. In the media business, the conversation is important. The way that we have the conversation has shifted. The corporate world doesn't understand it because they're stuck in the, oh, our quarter report's coming up in 3 months or 4 months or whatever the thing they have to do. And what are we going to say? What are we going to do? How are we going to hide these numbers? What are we going to? They don't really report on anything of value that's enabling any change. Does that make any sense, CC?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is, you know, again, there's people have the tendency to do what they've done before, even if it doesn't work. And, you know, it's certainly seen in the early days of TV. It was basically radio with talking heads until Ernie Kovacs came along to begin to use the media in a different way. And one of the exciting things I think about Mobilize, we're going to have to take a very short break in a minute, is that this is participatory. We are inviting participation. This is not sit and passively receive. So we'll be back with a final segment with Stephen Jay after this message.
Thank you.
Free your mind with OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
911, what is your emergency?
My kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wound, sir?
911, what's your emergency?
Please help. My son shot his brother.
911, what is your emergency?
Okay.
911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Okay, we're back with our guest Stephen Jay on WikiPolitiki. We're talking about mobilize.news, people, planet, purpose. Let's look at some of the ideas for summits and programs that we have for December and then for ongoing for next year. What are some of the ideas that have floated your way that would be some really good areas for us to engage and come up with, I think, a common reality? That's something that's kind of challenging these days, but I see the possibilities for doing that. What are some of the areas that on our own version of reset from domination and exploitation to collaboration and cultivation?
Well, I would call it reimagine and build, but you're right. December 20th, we're going to hold a conversation for all the partnerships on collaboration. We're going to invite people from around the world that are, whether they're writers of blogs or editorial, whether they're show hosts, progressive-type media. That'll be December 20th. Then we're doing something in January, which is on the importance of going from globalized to localized. In February, we're going to have one on health in our hands. March, we're going to do one on going from existing economic systems to ecologic economics. And then in April, we're doing a big global media summit, Citizens Action Summit, focusing mostly on climate action, because I'm very involved with those groups people and organizations.
You know, what's really exciting about this is we've got so many, you know, particularly over the past 4 years and particularly over the past election season, which always seems never ending. There's been a lot of this versus that, this versus that. If you've listened to my podcast recently, you've heard me talking about the social dilemma, about how intentionally people are fed narratives that reinforce what they already believe and create more intense polarization. And people are locked in these battles on the battlefield, locked in the battles on the battlefield, fighting about what they don't want. All the people who are fighting, who imagine that Trump actually won the election and they're trying to get all these recounts done, you know, they're fighting against what they don't want. All of the people who voted against Trump, and I think there are more people who voted against Trump than who voted for Joe Biden, they were once again pushing against what they don't want. What you are holding forth and holding out is moving from the matrix to the creatrix, from the old battlefield to a new playing field. And on this playing field, we will actually be able to move from the identity issues that keep us separate to the identical issues. People, you know, working on, as you were talking about, health, ecological economics, new economic systems. And these are things that, regardless of people's ideological propensities, we are going to be actually using all of the perspectives to really help people identify and work with projects around the world that are generative and are moving this new world forward rather than arguing about the old one. So how did this idea develop? Because so many of these other services are so stuck in fighting against what they don't want. How did you get this? Okay. This enlightened very, there.
I'm going to do my very best to tell it in a very brief way as possible. I had a near-death experience. I had a heart attack. I had a widowmaker heart attack, not knowing I had a widowmaker heart attack. And I had triple bypass surgery. So today, which is the December 1st, 2020, is 5 years ago. I was lying in a hospital bed knowing that in a few days they're going to cut me open. And I was never very religious, though I was spiritual. And I watched how all the doctors, now I'm not the biggest fan of doctors, because I like prevention, but there is a time when you do need medicine. Mm-hmm. You need surgery in hospital. So I was now in that situation. And I just watched the communications, the note-taking, how there was a central system that all the information was plugged into, and the doctors and nurses could see everything. And it got me much closer to my family and to my purpose. And I was already on a path very similar to this under a different name. We called it the world stage. And the idea was the world, what part are you playing? Mm-hmm. And December 3rd, 2015, I had triple bypass surgery. And before surgery, I prayed. And I am not someone who actively prayed. In fact, after my bar mitzvah in, what year is that? September 11th, 1971, I became an atheist for about 8 or 10 years because I did not like what transpired. I was taught how to read a language, but I couldn't communicate it. I could read the Hebrew letters, but I couldn't speak it. So anyhow, I'm lying in bed. I'm about, I'm being picked up, take a wheelchair, carry me onto this table, and it is cold, really cold metal table. And I said to the anesthesiologist, how long does it take for this to knock me out? He said, minute and a half. I said, can you give me a minute to pray? And he said, yes. And I prayed, and it was, dear God, please save my life. And when you do, I will work for you. And if I don't make it through, please make sure that my friends and family don't feel pain for too long. And they gave me the shot. And I did see my entire life as a slideshow, these images, in, out, really fast, going backwards. And when I woke up, I was on so much oxy and what was morphine, I was joking. I said, I had more trips than Jimi Hendrix had. I had seen animals coming out of the walls. And the recovery stage was intense, but I had all these really deep spiritual things happen. I got closer to my family. I've always been pretty close, but I healed misconceptions. I had to relearn how to walk, how to sit in a chair, how to get out of the bed. And what was important is I just had to relearn what's important in life. And through this journey, I would sketch a communication system between people. And I looked at my experience in the hospital as a central hub of decentralized information. I said, wouldn't it be great if people could overcome misunderstandings this way? And that's how I came up with it. And then I just started inviting people into conversations. And I started building it. And we got what we got.
Well, you know, when I first... Go ahead.
I would like to say this up front. The hardest thing for any producer is to give up the reins to anyone. Or is to say, I don't know how to do everything. So when you're in a studio and you're turning the knob, and if you're making... That's not what I do. I'm, as a producer, I'm more like a creative alchemist. I create the themes. In producing movies, whether you're shaping it or raising the money or putting the deals together for it, it's very difficult to walk away from your baby, your child, and say, okay, you go take it and give it to other people to do things. That's the hardest part. And I say that, I call it removing the ego from the ego.
Indeed.
So I can say I know what I want, but I say I don't know what I'm doing because I have to always be in this state of curiosity. And I say curiosity didn't kill the cat. ignorance did.
Well, so that really is that's an amazing story, you know. And again, I'm always interested in how people find their purpose and calling. And, you know, this was obviously a very powerful pull. Now, you know, again, we've been in conversation for most of this year, certainly since the since March or April. Mm-hmm. And I could, you know, part of what's been going on and what's taken all of a lot of air out of the room has been the election and Trumpism and all of this sort of stuff. Now that it looks like the fat lady has sung, even if the fat baby hasn't squealed, what is it that you feel most encouraged about at this time? What is it that you is there a light at the end of the tunnel? And is it hopefully
The light has always been there, because I look at stories and truth, and it could only be one truth: how we're here, who are we, what we are, what this planet is. We might have different names, but there's only one way. And so most people spend their lives arguing over something that they don't know other than a theory. So I said, I don't want to do that. I don't want to talk religion. I don't want to talk politics. I don't want to talk control. I want to talk creation. And I think that's the way forward. So the light has always been there. Just like we've always, it's like I'm talking Wizard of Oz now. It's like Dorothy realizes that she's already had the power within her, but she found out when she handed the the witch's broom to the wizard, and then the wizard is now someone else because the curtain has been drawn and the truth has been revealed. So now the truth that's been revealed is the bullshit story. I guess we can say that.
You already did. Radio. That's fine. You've actually said it. So.
It's been revealed. Okay, and we're not here to say, we're not here to talk about politics, who's control, who's driving your life, okay? How are we off? How can we take, not our power back, but how can we be powerful human beings? I say that the everyone's born a genius, but something about life de-geniuses us, okay? So if we can empower the Einstein and a few people, that's great. But I've already seen this work that we've done empower people. One young guy had a scholarship. He's a nice young man who lives in Tanzania and is making $2 a day working with a charity for disabled people, trying to help people to overcome misunderstandings so people with disabilities can get hired. He now is went to London to work on a degree. How fabulous is that? So if we've been able to empower only a few people in the beta stages, I can only imagine what's going to happen when this gets to be in everyone's media diet.
This is really quite, I don't want to use the word revolutionary because it's really evolutionary. It is at a different level. Again, particularly since World War II, the boomers, the TV generation, we have had information put into us from the top down. We've absorbed a lot of information. And I think that there's a lot of potential intelligence that people have, and that this is going to be the next level of creation of artistic creation. You know, keep in mind that, you know, people have been able to do their own records and books and so on, or MP3s or digital products and books for decades now, and self-publishing has been quite common. What you're looking to do with this platform, Stephen, is to really give people a chance to proliferate widely these creations and let the best ones find their way and to become the most popular and the most helpful.
That is true.
So, yes, I'm sorry. Anything else? We've got another half a minute here. Anything else you want to share about Mobilized and your work? And
well, I would like to say thank you to you and to Bruce Lipton, because as you know, and a few of my friends and associates know, that I lost my dad in March. And I lost my dad to aspirating pneumonia. He had very bad OCD before that. We don't know. He may have had COVID. We don't know. It was such a new thing at that time in early, mid-March. But when I knew my dad was basically on his deathbed, I turned to your books. So thank you.
Wow. Thank you. Well, we've got more conversations coming. Thank you, Stephen Jay. And I'm going to be working with Mobilized as well. And we're going to be doing a lot of collaboration and Wikifying. So thank you for joining us this week on WikiPolitiki. We'll be back next week. Thank you again, Stephen Jay.